As I just mentioned in the show open, New Jersey has taken legal action regarding the planned immigrant detention center, which would be located in Roxbury, New Jersey. If you're listening elsewhere, it's the northwest part of the state. Now, while the federal government and others who support this idea say that state action can't restrict federal, others say that there are laws, there are policies that are required to be followed by everybody, which hasn't happened when it comes to this proposed project. Our first guest today has been certainly a leader in the vocal and other efforts to push back against this planned immigrant detention center. He is the co-founder of the No ICE North Jersey Alliance. William Angus, thanks for coming back, Bill.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And the website, we have it on the homepage, no-roxbury-jails.com. Let's talk about
correct. That is our website.
Let's start with the lawsuit, Bill, because this is addressing major points. As I said in the introduction, the belief is, even the Constitution supports, that federal trumps states. But if there are federal and state laws that aren't being followed, well, the federal has a problem. That's what this lawsuit is really trying to point out, isn't it?
That's exactly correct. We have been pressing Governor Sherrill to take this sort of action in our discussions with her to follow along. This follows similar action in Pennsylvania and Maryland. And I believe in Maryland, they actually have a stop work order, if I recall correctly. Because as you said, a lot of times local ordinances and laws can be overstepped by the feds. But when it comes to federal laws, that's not so easy for them to bypass.
Now, one of those being the National Environmental Policy Act requires federal agencies to assess environmental impacts before taking on a major construction project. The Department of Homeland Security says, well, we did that. Small problem is there's no report saying what they did.
Yeah, that is a recurrent problem with DHS. They say, oh, we did this. We've spoken with this, with the local officials. We've submitted reports. And when you ask the local officials or the agencies involved, they say, no, they haven't. So the Musconetcong Sewer Authority, which governs the sewer and water for Roxbury and six other towns, recently had stated that they had received no information, no requests, no investigations from DHS after they had publicly said that they had done so. So it's not even trust but verify. It's just verify. There's no trust there.
The lawsuit also, I'm going to put the document up on our downloads page over at our website, too, so for you listening, you can check this out in detail, and if you're in other states and communities, learn from it and take the lead here, too. The Administrative Procedure Act, by failing to consider the important aspects of the situation, the inappropriateness of the site, we'll get to that in a moment. The Intergovernmental Cooperation Act violation requires DHS to have consulted state and local officials, and there are broken laws regarding the Immigration Nationality Act by violating ICE's own published standards for what a facility is to be, which case in point, Bill, this proposed location, at least in current state of affairs, has a grand total of four toilets for 1,500 people. That doesn't sound like that's going to work out too good.
No, and that's honestly the tip of the iceberg, but, you know, for the purposes of their lawsuit, it's more than sufficient to raise legal questions. The warehouse was only designed to handle, you know, 40 employees, give or take, and so it has appropriate levels of, you know, bathroom facilities and sewer capacity and also water connections for that. You know, there could be many hundreds of DHS ICE agents there because this is effectively a prison. So it's not just the detainees, which they say is going to be 1,500. You could easily have, you know, 400 or 500 ICE agents, you know, in charge of the facility. So you're talking in excess of 2,000 people. That's 50 times the usage that was expected. And, you know, these are not insignificant concerns because, you know, without getting too into the weeds, you know, the Musconetcon Sewer Authority manages the amount of water that each town can have, and Roxbury is currently using 93% of its allocated water supply. This is going to push them dangerously close to 100%, and the town has numerous affordable housing obligations that it's trying to meet with the state. And what are those people going to do for water and sewer? So it puts Roxbury in a very bad position of, you know, maybe not being able to be compliant with the affordable housing responsibilities. It may have to, you know, purchase water rights from other towns if they're even willing to do so. You can't just manufacture water. You know, if it's not there, it's not there. So this affects everybody, not just in Roxbury, but it, you know, in the other six towns. And honestly, it's part of the Highlands, so it affects anybody who gets drinking water from that area, which, by the way, is about 75% of the New Jersey populace gets some of its water from the Highlands.
We also have to think, too, what strain is this facility going to put on the electric grid for not just the area, but for the region?
There's the impact. I mean, you name an aspect, and it's going to impact it. There's estimates of, you know, significant truck traffic on the highway getting in and out. That's going to create noise pollution for the nearby neighbors. It's going to create traffic problems, impact to the roads, and of course the sewer is a huge one, because the engineer's report recently said that, just like with the water, he said it would be like trying to stick a fire hose into a paper straw. The amount of discharge that this would generate simply cannot be handled. And, you know, if they don't build all new infrastructure, which will be time-consuming and very costly to the town of Roxbury, by the way. The sewer authority said the cost is borne by Roxbury. If you don't put in additional infrastructure, then the infrastructure that's there is probably going to fail. And that means sewer discharge into the Musconetcong River. And again, that creates all sorts of environmental concerns. Again, for anybody, you know, if you're one of the part of the 75% of the people who get drinking water from the Highlands, your drinking water could be affected if they had, you know, some sort of a discharge. So this is really a state problem. It is not just a Roxbury or Morris County problem.
William Angus, co-founder of No Ice North Jersey Alliance, no-roxbury-jails.com. We have the link over our webpage, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Add to that the fact that this could potentially eliminate $1.8 million in tax revenue because a federal facility pays no property taxes.
It could be a huge hit. We figured it out. There's 9,000 residential properties in Roxbury currently. And so that works out to, $250 per property. And that doesn't even take into account the added expenses that, you know, Roxbury might be on the hook for if they have to build new sewer lines, you know, police and fire EMS responding to emergencies there, road repairs. So the actual cost to every single property owner in Roxbury could be, you know, very significant. And again, you know, this is Jersey, and the one thing we love to complain about is our property taxes.
Yes.
This is going to have a very big effect on the tax burden of the residents of Roxbury.
Now, there are various players who, up until this point, have been, well, questionable in their value in this effort. Let's start with the mayor of Roxbury. He has signed on to this lawsuit, so that's a positive step because he had been, at least by my observation or understanding, lackadaisical about it. Let's say he'd been saying the right things but doing little. So how valuable was his signing on to this legal action?
I would say on behalf of Ninja and all the other protesters, we accept the thanks that the mayor has extended to us for what we've done. Because in my opinion, I know what we've done in dealing with Senator Kim, Booker, the Attorney General, the governor's office. We know what we've done. And I don't know what the mayor's done other than sign onto this lawsuit, which honestly isn't a huge effort. If you ask me, I think we've done more than the mayor and the town council have, mainly because they haven't shown their work. You know, they have not demonstrated what they've done. They give, when you ask them, they give these vague general answers. We've been in contact with the governor. We've been in contact, what does that even mean? Right? So I think he should be thanking us for what we've done, personally.
And we have town attorney who is in a dual position. He also is also a state senator and state senate Republican leader, Anthony Bucco Jr., who, by the way, with all the executive orders limiting ICE activity that Governor Sherrill has signed, Bucco is pretty much against all of them. Is he, I hate calling for this because it's up to the voters for to decide. Does he have to decide which position he serves in, whether it's town attorney or state senator, and make a choice and give up one?
To be fair, I think Mr. Bucco has demonstrated why being an attorney is not his primary job. He has been very resistant to any of the ideas that were presented to him and the town council in terms of ordinances, in terms of legal strategy. These were things that are demonstrated in other states to have had a positive impact on slowing or stopping the processes. Thankfully, just in the last week or so, the town has announced that they have hired another law firm to handle this issue. So he is still the town attorney, but he will not be the lead on the ICE detention center issue. So we're very hopeful that this new law firm and everything that we've read about them suggests that they will pursue it in a manner that we consider appropriate. They will give it the appropriate level of aggressive defense.
Then we have finally Representative Tom Kaine Jr., who his big contribution has been, well, if it's going to cost the area, I'll get you federal funds to pay this off, which good luck with doing that to the tune of $1.8 million. Again, is he just more concerned about his political position, especially in this upcoming election, versus the issue and the impact as you laid it out here?
Yeah, so I kind of like to refer to that bill as, you know, we're okay with human misery as long as we don't have to pay for it. That's what his bill is really all about. It does nothing to address the needs of Roxbury or the surrounding communities. It does nothing to address the inhuman conditions that surround ICE detention centers as a whole. He's fine with all that. He's fine with, you know, Roxbury, you know, maybe having, you know, sewer and water issues, polluting the drinking water if there's a discharge. He just doesn't want to see the town pay for it. And as you said, good luck getting money from Donald Trump's administration reimbursement. That is just not going to happen.
Especially for a blue state.
Yeah. exactly. You know, I read something recently that you know, and I'm not sure the numbers exactly, but something like 75% of red state requests for aid from FEMA have been approved, and like 25% of requests from blue states have been approved. And I can't imagine what the difference would be between those very widely different numbers. Yeah, he's New Jersey's. You know, he didn't even want us to get the Gateway Tunnel into New York City, and he tried to stop the funding, and we had to take him to court over that. So, you know, there's no way Roxbury's getting its $2 million back.
We have to wrap up here, but real fast, you mentioned Andy Kim during the confirmation hearings of Mark Wayne Mullen, Andy Kim brought up this whole project, and he got Mullen to at least promise that he's going to come by and check things out. Is there any, because also there's been reports that with the change of leadership at Homeland Security, that projects are contemplating to be paused. Does that lift your spirits in some way, shape, or form?
It does and it doesn't. At the end of the day, we don't intend to be Charlie Brown with Lucy's football once again. Honestly, if that happens, we will be pleasantly surprised and we will take the W if that were to be the case and they backed out of Roxbury because of, you know, his reassessment. I have, again, there is no trust in verify, there's just verify. So file that under, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, it is encouraging, though, I will say that, but, you know, that is not any reason for us to take our foot off the gas on all of our efforts. We will continue the public protests, we will continue to make sure it stays in the news media, in the public eye, we will still continue to you know, be putting pressure on the town, on our elected officials, to make sure that this doesn't happen. It is BAU for us until we see otherwise.
And for you listening, as you saw or even maybe even took part in yesterday, the No Kings rallies, that voice that initially last year people said was going to just dry up, blow away, and go away is doing exactly the opposite. It's getting louder, getting stronger in numbers, and getting stronger as a force. And this is one of the focal points of, at least here in New Jersey, the pushback that the No Kings voice is working on, and as well as the No ICE North Jersey Alliance, which you can find out more about their work and become a part of it at no-roxbury-jails.com. William Angus, thank you for standing strong, standing firm, and bringing in as many people as possible to realize, first and foremost, an individual's voice matters when there's a lot of them together. And for those who are in places where this isn't happening, who says it can't be happening in the next day, the next week, or the next month? Thank you for your work, sir.
Absolutely, and thank you for having me and giving me the opportunity to talk about it.